Invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we consider our look-see at this church at Philippi, church in Macedonia, and the epistle written by the apostle to them. And we've come upon a verse here that we want to expound upon, and the Lord help us that we would have right understanding of its application and understanding about what it means to us. And living that out in our lives. And so we come here to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12 is where we started last time. Let's just read this. The focus beginning to be rather than on the group as a church. It's coming down to individual responsibility and walk. And so we read here in verse number 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So that is a command for us to take what we have within and work it out of us, not just hold, not have the burning light of the Lord, the candle that is lit, not to put it under a bushel, but for it to be exhibited outwardly. And we have to do that. Remember, I gave you some examples last time about the state of people. A person, they have their soul, they have their conscience. Conscience can be formed and shaped by principles from the Word of God, but that's not salvation. Morality, which comes from the Lord, can be instilled within a person, but that's not salvation. It's good, and it's right, and it's appropriate. That's what we're supposed to be doing with our children. And we're supposed to be teaching our children and raising them, rearing them in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. But that's not salvation. Salvation is when the Word of God comes, the Spirit of God comes and moves, begins to illuminate to the truth of God's Word and what He tells us, things that we don't know naturally about God, about the Savior, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, about coming damnation for the unrepentant and unbelieving. We just don't know about those things naturally. And the Spirit of God, the work of God, the people of God come bearing that precious seed. And the Lord is doing what He's promised to do and to take that seed and the miracle of it and make it grow. And sinners are saved. When a sinner is saved, now we have that person that we are naturally. But now the Spirit of God is living within. Never to leave ever again. Never to leave. Always there. The same Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep at the creation, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Same Spirit. Not a proxy, not another one, not a delegate, but the Spirit of God Himself within. We have been brought from darkness to light. We've been brought from death unto life. That is the case of the saved person. And so that's the reason that salvation is eternal and is everlasting, because that person saved will go on to be in glory, will be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Case closed, done. Nevertheless, there is this time that we live and we have left. And so the scripture here in this passage, what we've read, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a command. We are given that to do. Brother Jim, I don't know how. Okay, I understand that. I can get that. That's the reason we've been given this book. That's the reason we've been given prayer. Prayer is a thing that prayer is kind of the top thing at the list that we can forget about. And prayer is the most essential. Where we petition the Lord and we go to the Lord for what we need. And so we have this in verse number 13. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because or for it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's the want to, and to do, that's the action of his good pleasure. We can take that verse, and I think by some it is misunderstood. If you and I as a child of God do not will to obey, then some think, well, this the Lord hadn't given it to me to do. Wait a minute. The Spirit of God is always about obeying the Lord. He's never not about obeying God. So the problem, if I don't will to do the work and obey God, it's not God. It's not the Spirit of God that's at fault. It's me. Me. This old man. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his, the action. The performing, the accomplishment of opening our mouths and speaking about Christ. The working of staying away from sin and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. To be obedient to the service and the worship of our Lord. You came here in your body today. You made, the new man made your body come as much as my hip's hurting today. Okay, and I just tell you that not to, for you to be sympathetic, although I appreciate your prayers, but I could have said, my hip's hurting too much today, therefore I'm not going to come. But in spite of my hip hurting, I came because I want to. Why is it that I want to? Because of the Spirit of the Lord within me. See, we can never will or do what is righteous and glorifying to the Lord and obedient to the Lord without the Spirit of God within us. Because before I was saved, I played the church member and I played the part of a person that was saved. And I tithed and I gave and I attended and I worked and I tried to witness and I tried to do all those things. Did that save me? Not at all. Not at all. Were those obedient things for the child of God? Indeed, they were. That's the reason I was trying to do them. But you know what they profited me? Nothing. Nothing. But when the Lord saved me, and those same things are there as given by the Lord, and now I'm doing them not to try to accomplish or prove my salvation in the way that I lived then, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But now I do so because I want to. How is it that I could ever want to? Only by the Spirit of God that lives within. But you know what? Since I've been saved, I've disobeyed. I've had a bad attitude more times than I would care to think about and consider. I've had misunderstanding. I've created trouble for my brothers and sisters. I've not done good in things. Are those things of God? Not at all. Those things are of Jim Duke. And I don't need to be like Jim Duke. I need to be like Jesus. How can we will and how can we do? Only by the Spirit of God that lives within. But being saved, we can. We are able to will and to do. And whenever we do, it's for the praise and honor and glory of the Lord, not ourselves. A child of God can get caught up in a thing of desiring praise of his brothers and sisters. We're subject to it. We're just proudful. It's just in us. We're that way. And we have to fight against that. And that fight and that struggle would be within, from within. And when we see that in ourselves, we need to ask the Lord to help us. But the desire of the child of God is to do things for the Lord because he has commanded us to, and because he's done so much for us, and because he's God. He's the King of glory. He's our Savior. Don't you want to please him? We do, don't we? How is it that we want to? By the Spirit of God that lives within. We can only will and we can only do the things pleasing to God by his Spirit that lives within. But brothers and sisters, we do have an aspect, an element of our lives is that we can buck against that. And we're responsible for that. And so I think a right understanding of this passage, for it is God, so it says here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, it doesn't say God will work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say that, does it? Jesus will work out your salvation with fear. It says for you, you is implied. We've got to be, it is a work. And that's what the children of God are called to. Works that prove our salvation. Not that affect our salvation. We're already saved by Christ. But works that prove that we're saved. They show it. Not that we need proof, but they just show that. And so he says, sandwiched up here between this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then we come to verse number 14 quickly. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. So we've got a potential for fault here, not working out our salvation. And I've got a potential for murmurings and disputings. And sandwiched within that, it's God that willeth, causes us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. See what I'm saying? I'm challenged on the front of that. I'm challenged on the tail end of that. Because that's my responsibility. I'm not to be a murmurer. And I have a tendency to be a murmurer. I have a tendency to be, I pray not a disputer, but the thing is we are subject murmurings and disputings. We don't need to be part of that. But when I do, it's not God's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's me. It's me. And so that's the thing that I want to relay and convey about this is our responsibility. Brother Jim, you just don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. I understand. I understand completely because the things that you and I deal with are no different one for another. Oh, there may be a potential tragedy of life death of a parent. There are those of you that you've experienced the death of your parent. I have not. Okay, so that is different. But from the standpoint of struggle, making bad decisions, being ill affected by other people in the world, things being done to us, having the work of enemies against us, having maybe what seems like to be just a circumstance that's just not working out real, real good. We've all have that, and we all have that to one degree or another. And we do well to be empathetic and sympathetic to one another and never trying to trump one another with our problems. Let us share what our burdens are because we need to pray one for another. But let us understand there are no doubt many that bear things that aren't even known. And we need to be that way. We're so naturally focused upon ourselves. It's just that way with us. It should not be. So it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Brother Mark and Sister Cheryl, they're going to go to a funeral, so pray for them. So let's understand some things, and I mentioned about this last time. Let us know what it is regarding the flesh. Romans 7:18, Paul gives that there. We read that last time, this dispute that he's got within him, this wrestling. And he says, and boil it down, in the flesh I serve the law of sin, but in the spirit I serve the law of Christ. Obedience to God and fellowship with him and pursuit of him. And so that's the state that he's in. And in that, in the midst of that, in Romans 7:18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So in the flesh dwells not one good thing, no good thing in my flesh. So anything that I take by sheer will, grit, and determination in my flesh and in my will, I take that. And understand, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord so we can understand when we're doing that and when we're not. Because sometimes I can just be pursuing a thing and it's just all me and not the Lord. And it's only by growth that we can have discernment and understanding about when it's all me and when I'm resting in the Lord for it. And I think an indicator is that is how much we've been praying about it. See, I can have an idea of what I want to do, and I can even pray to the Lord about it, but not stop to listen to what the answer is. It can happen. I've done it. And so he says that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So anything that I undertake of myself, it's not going to be any good. He says, for the will is present with me. He said, I've got the will. And that will is by the Spirit of God that lives within. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So in his body, to make his body go, to want to go do it, there's the challenge, because the body just doesn't want to. The old man just doesn't want to. So you got to discipline him. You got to make him. You got to drive the old man to do it. This is just the way it's going to be in my life. And not let the flesh win out. Now listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:10. This same man, our brother, servant and apostle of the Lord, says this. He said what he said in Romans 7:18, for that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, not in emptiness, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But he doesn't stop there, does he? Yet not I, but the grace, the graciousness of God, which was with me. So he made a statement that he labored more than all the apostles. And you know what that statement is? It's true. He did. We can understand that just by virtue of the epistles that are written to the churches. Such a major part of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. But here we can have understanding of a thing. He says, I've got this wrestling within me, and the flesh is fighting against me, but the will and the want to of the Spirit living within me is to do the will of God. But in my flesh, I can't find the ability to do it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But then on the other hand, he says, the graciousness of the Lord upon me was such that I labored more than they all. How could it be that he labored more than they all? I ask you this, was he driven by the Spirit of God, or did he willingly submit to the Spirit of God? He availed himself to the Spirit of God that was within. Now, there was a calling upon the Apostle Paul. Oh, that's it, Brother Jim. The calling, that made the difference. Would we dare say that we are without calling? All of us are called. We're all called, we were saved, have been called to salvation, and then we've been called to worship in the church and personally by virtue of salvation, called to worship in the church and called to service in the church. We all have a calling. You hear me say it often. We need to find out what it is and be about doing it. Can you do more for your Lord? Do so. This is the time. This is the time to do so. And so he declares here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, a saved sinner. Okay. And that's what we are, saved sinners. And his graciousness, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. His salvation of me, it was not in vain. Now take a look in comparison to Brother Lot. It was not the graciousness of the Lord and salvation of Lot, which we know from Peter was saved. It was not in vain unto the rescue of his soul. But how about the service? Was it wasted? Well, no, it wasn't wasted, because the Lord was going to redeem Lot. He was going to make him his own. But from the standpoint of Lot's witness in life, Lot's witness in life rings on as being shameful to the Lord in the scriptures all through thousands of years. Do we want that? Do you want that? Do we want that for ourselves? There is a sense, I think we can look on that. The graciousness of the Lord put on Lot was in vain. It wasn't in vain to his rescue. And the Lord will be glorified in that. But from the standpoint of his life, it was empty, wasn't it? It was empty and terribly, terribly wicked in the things that he did. I'll give you this. This was a thought that I had. Well, the Lord just didn't get in there and stir Lot up, Brother Jim. He went down there to Sodom, and that was wrong. See, he should have never went to Sodom, but he did. And then the Lord just never did anything for him. So what do you expect? If the Lord doesn't give him to will and to do of his good pleasure, then how could he do anything? I think Jesus himself came down there to rescue him out of that place. And what did it change his life? None. Well, you know what the Lord does for us continually out of this word, out of church services, out of teaching and preaching and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ? He's continually infusing and inputting into our lives to be obedient, that this grace bestowed upon us would not be in vain to his glory in this little dab of life we've got left. May the Lord help us to get a handle on this about the flesh and what we are called to by the Spirit. Let's understand, we understand about the flesh. Let's understand some here about the Spirit. It's only by the Holy Spirit of God that we can know what is right and pleasing in the Lord's sight. It's only by his Spirit. And so that is that indwelling of the Spirit within us and what he's able to teach us. It is only by the Spirit of God that we can do anything glorifying to our Lord, as we have said. Let's take a look over here at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This touches upon what Brother Paul said in Romans chapter 7. And let's see here in verse number 5. Well, let's back up to verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Controversy and quarreling and bitterness between brothers and sisters. Come they not hence even of your own desires that war in your members? The controversy, the fightings and that. Doesn't that come from that which is raging in your own body and your own mind? You desire and you have not. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You can't get it. Always, there's people in life that are just searching, trying to find a utopia. You know, best advice I had from a fellow that I went to work for before I came here as your pastor was, he says, Jim, said, I got a good opportunity for you here. I believe you do well at it, but understand this, there's no utopias. You know, and it's like, dang, it's like the light came on about work. He said, there's no utopias. This is not going to be perfect, but I think for the most part, it'll be good, but there'll be hard spots and snags. You know, and that's true. And the thing is for the world, those that are unsaved, when they hit their hard spots and rough spots and all that, you know, what do they have? Well, they have anger. Anger is an immediate reaction to hard spots, difficulties, can become wrathful. And then start tearing up your life and tearing up those around you that you love and you're supposed to be having a good relationship with. So you got anger, you got wrath, you got self-destruction. But the child of God, you know, we've got a someone to resort to. Lord, this is a mess, and I need your help because I don't know what to do. That's what we have. We have, and so. He says here, you lust, you have not, and understand this book of James is written to those that are saved. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse number 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, that's pretty strong language. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, is hatred with God? Pardon me. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So here we have a quote from seemingly from the book of Galatians. Genesis 6 is a possibility, and then maybe even from Galatians, that the spirit and the flesh are always at odds against each other. The spirit that dwelleth in us desires to envy of what? The flesh. The spirit of God is always contrary to the flesh. The flesh is always contrary to the spirit. And that's an ongoing affair until the flesh gets killed off, mortified. Those are the words in the scripture. Mortified. That means kill off, to be made still. So the spirit of God is that by which you and I can only know or do anything glorifying to our Savior, pleasing in His sight. And it's always warring against this flesh. I've asked you the question at last time. Is the Holy Spirit of God in us? We are saved. Those that are saved ever idle? Does the Holy Spirit go on vacation? Does He take a rest? Does He just kind of lay down for a while and say, okay, let the flesh go. I'm tired. No, does the Holy Spirit ever do that? Never. Never. He never becomes weary in us. He is there. And that's just an amazing thing, is that as powerful as God is and as powerful as the Spirit of God is, why He subjects Himself to what He does. The Holy Spirit of God subjected Himself to that quenching and that grieving in Brother Lot. He did it. Was Lot saved? Scripture tells us he was. Was there ever a time that the Spirit of God didn't live within Lot after he was saved? Nope. But see, Lot had a responsibility to live for the Lord. And he didn't. He didn't avail himself to it. And so I find that very interesting. Does the Holy Spirit within us ever not pursue righteousness? He's always about pursuing righteousness. And so there's this warfare. Let's take a look at Galatians 5. And let's take a look here in this about what the flesh and the carnal mind looks like. Okay? Let's read here. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, brethren in the churches of Galatia and Olmsted Baptist Church, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We must do that. We must ask our Lord to help us to walk in the Spirit. We must desire to walk in the Spirit. We need to be thinking and searching in the Word of God how we can walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? What's that look like? Walk in the Spirit. It's a displacement affair. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How about not walking in the Spirit? What'll happen? We'll be right over there in Fleshville, won't we? That's what'll happen. There's no middle ground. We're either going to walk in the Spirit and that way put away the walk in the flesh, or we're going to deny walking in the Spirit and we're going to be found over here walking in the flesh. It's going to be one way or the other, never in between. Let's read on here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, as we read over there in James 4:5. That means it desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The will, the want to. That, of course, if anything good and glorious is of God. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And what's the law do? It beats up and tells everything that's wrong with the flesh and all the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're manifest by the law, which are these: adultery. Adultery in the body, adultery in the mind. Fornication. Fornication in the body, fornication in the mind. That's the terribleness and wickedness of pornography. Uncleanness. Just being sinful and contrary to the Lord and His righteousness. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness speaks about wanting what is forbidden for us. We want that, want that, want that. It's forbidden for us. It's forbidden of God for us. But we just focus our hearts and our minds upon that. This is the way the flesh operates. Wanted away. Idolatry. And again, we can take things and put them between us and God, or we can put people between us and God, or we can take and put ourselves before the Lord. Witchcraft, which, if I recall correctly, speaks about illicit drug use, hatred, variance, disagreeableness. You know, a temptation for young people is to be angry all the time, and it can keep on going into life, and we can even, as middle-aged or old people, everything we see makes us angry, 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 angry. Well, I understand there are things that we can be angry about, but we got to watch anger, because it gets out of hand, turns into wrath. We start tearing stuff up, tearing people up, tearing up relationships, tearing up ourselves. And the thing is you can replace a table, you can replace a chair, but you can't replace what you got going on, what a relationship with a person. That's hard to beat, to repair. That's hard to replace. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. This is what the flesh is all about. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He said, if I haven't listed them all, you know what they're like. You know what they're all about. And they're just like these. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you. He said, we've reviewed this, and I've told you this in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what we've been saved from. So we need to understand that the Spirit wars and desires against the flesh, and the flesh desires and wars against the Spirit. And we need to be led, avail ourselves to the leadership of the Spirit. We need to pursue it. We need to know that He is within us. If we're saved, are you saved? If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. The Scripture's plain. But the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, then you and I need to avail ourselves of that Spirit and walk in and live in our life. All the details, not the big things, not 30% of everything is 70% for me, but all 100% of it to Him. And what He wants, what God wants, and not the desire and way of this flesh. Is the Spirit of God ever lacking to manifest His fruit? We'll read this quickly since we're here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And then every now and then, if you throw in a little bit of idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred, it'll be okay. Because we're put those things away and be pursuing this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love, self-sacrifice and love like our Lord Jesus Christ exhibited for us. Joy, rejoicing in the Lord. Peace, like we have peace with God, to be a child of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they'll be known as the children of God. You want to make peace? You want to make war? The old man wants to make war. Long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? Is to bear and to bear. Oh, it may not be right. May not be just. You might be in the just position. You and I might be in the right place, but we got to suffer long. Maybe suffer long with illness. Suffer long with want. Suffer long with being done wrong. Suffer long with all kinds of things that can happen in life. To be gentle. To be gentle is like we are with babies. Like with Joseph today. When I picked up Joseph, I was carrying him around, made Sister Brenda angry that I was carrying him around so well. Be gentle. That's what we need to be to one another, to all. To be gentle. That's of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Goodness, to be good like our Lord. Faith, to have faith in our Lord that He will help us, that He will strengthen us. Meekness, that means you can whip everybody into place, but just because you can, you don't. Power under control, that's meekness. Temperance, self-control, not go on a tear about things, but to be self-controlled. Against such, there is no law. That means there is liberty and freedom to exercise those things. You can't ever do them too much. You can't ever do them to the end. They're always, always to be abounding in us. And Lord, help us that that would be the case. We're going to stop right here in regards to this about understanding about the Spirit. Again, as I've mentioned earlier, Lord willing, next time we'll take a look about this. Is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, is He ever grieved or quenched? And when is that? Is the Spirit of God ever grieved or quenched when we're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? But what about when we manifest the works of the flesh? Is He grieved then? Yeah, He's grieved. He's quenched. You know, that quenching is like, what I think about is the heat treating of metal. You know, they take metals and different alloys and they heat them up to a high temperature, and then they take them and they quickly put them down to a lower temperature, and that makes the structure of it change to where it can be harder or stronger or tougher or whatever. And you think about the spirit there is ready and abounding, and because of my bad behavior, bad thinking, dark heart and following after the way of the flesh more, the Spirit of the Lord just gets put down in that quench water, that quench oil. Now, the Spirit of God's never extinguished in the child of God. But the communication is broken down. The searing of the heart for the person is got all toughened up, and Scripture speaks to us about that. Our sensitivity to the Spirit of God can be made. We can be kind of like scarred over some. Do you want to be like that? I don't want to be like that. Do you? But He is quenched and He is grieved. And you know what? This last point, and I'll close. The Holy Spirit works within us and does so our entire, He works within us and does so with our entire being, yet He subjects Himself to our flesh. Remember what it says in Corinthians about our bodies are the temple of the Lord? So everywhere we go, whatever we do, the Spirit of God's right here looking, right here in us, observing, looking, leading. And looking to be heard, looking to remind. I'm not saying that the Spirit of God has a struggle with doing anything. He doesn't. But the Spirit of God subjects Himself to this because of the great love that the Lord has for us as children. And I guess that's really a big aspect of what I want us to see in our responsibility, is that look what the Lord has done for us in giving us His Spirit, and looks what He subjects Himself to in our disobedience when we do disobey, when our hearts do get hard, when our hearts get seared like with a hot iron. He doesn't leave us. He'll never forsake us. But we must avail ourselves to Him and His power within us. We have that responsibility to do so, and we've got a short time to do it. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. And what that means is He's the only Savior. He's the only Savior that there is. There have been many that have said, I'll save you. I'll rescue. Let's stand together as song leader and piano player comes. I'll give you help. I'll give you hope, but they're all false.